Who's that?
Yes, four f***ing people.
Yes.
I don't mean.
We win.
So we spent
half an hour trying to get in touch with each other. I think that segment of us just celebrating should definitely open the podcast.
You know what? I'll clip it.
A week ago, from the corner, and it's buried again!
Get it again! Sergio Ramos! Stadio! Beautiful header!
One more time, Ramos!
What's up, podcast listeners? It's Mushtaq, your co-editor and host of The Real Madrid, The Real Champs podcast, obviously from The Real Champs. After a very, very resilient effort from the contributors and myself, we've finally gotten all four of us to be on the same little application that The Real Champs uses to record the podcast. So without further ado, without wasting another half hour with silliness and weird noises from Hassan, Let's just introduce yourself, drop your socials. Ladies and gentlemen, please follow these guys. They're super dope.
Christopher, back at it again. My Twitter is K_MC06. Follow me for Lucas Vasquez propaganda.
All right, what's going on? I'm Anthony. Some people call me Young Leg. My Twitter handle is ShopaAJ, ShopaAJ. I am the very large pineapple.
And last but not least, I'm Hassan or Hass, whatever you want to call me, vibe. My social media is at the Haskarim. Drop a follow. Don't
yeah,
be scared.
So we have Lucas Vasquez propaganda. Anthony,
pineapple.
And the pineapple and Potty Mouth FC and myself. Anyway, like we were saying, without further ado, let's get into it. So today's podcast, we're going to discuss a couple of things. Most importantly, of course, was our last game and our game that's coming up. So our last game, which took place this Saturday, past Saturday, against Espanyol, ended 1-0. We're just going to run through that, take a look at it, see what went right and what went wrong. And then, of course, in 2 days' time, on Wednesday, we're playing Sevilla. And, yeah, it's a busy week. 3 games in a week's time. It's pretty hectic. So a lot of podcasts from us. So, yeah, we hope you're excited. Anyway, guys, your 30-second takeaway from the Espanyol game this Saturday. Hassan, you go first.
It was a tidy affair. The team went in, got the job done in an effective manner. Suffered a little bit in the final 20. But other than that, it was clean and precise. I think according to XG, it was pretty much dead on a one-goal game. It's exactly what we got.
And also, you should definitely follow Hassan because Hassan actually watched he watched highlights in the replay. He didn't get to watch the game because, Hassan, where were you on Saturday?
I was a busy man.
He's a busy man. He's a. Weren't you at that boxing match? What was it?
I was at the boxing that evening watching Joshua KO Povetkin. For our boxing fans out there, I was in the arena. It was a good environment.
Exactly. Let the fans know what you're up to. They might be interested. You never know. So if there's boxing fans out there, follow Hassan. Anyways, Chris, what was your 30-second takeaway from the match?
I'm gonna take this 30 seconds takeaway seriously and say it was a good result, bad performance. We missed Marcelo and we were the third best defense in the league.
Again, follow Chris because that I think it was earlier today or yesterday had some good points in that tweet as well. I won't tell you what they were because you should go follow him instead.
He's teasing them.
Last but not I'm teasing. I have to tease them. I got to give the people what they want.
I was about to say, leave them wanting more.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you just got to leave. You got to tease them a little bit. You know, you can't just have everything handed to you. But what we will hand to you is... Anyway, our big pineapple from Philadelphia, Anthony, what was your 30-second takeaway of the match?
I mean, it was one of those wins you have to get. But 19 shots, only one goal. It was really upsetting to see. Mariano, I was hoping would come in a little bit sooner, maybe even start that game to give Benzema a rest and let the young guy run. But good win. Got the 3 points, but looking for a little bit more goals. Marcelo was missed.
So now I think two of you have said Marcelo was missed. But then I guess kind of this kind of feeds into whole notion of needing a rotation. Was the game against Espanyol, in your guys' opinion, the right time to experiment with the rotation? Or did you feel that maybe it was the wrong time to experiment with the rotation? Because, of course, we also saw Dani Ceballos play in that game. Marcos Llorente featured in that game. That was more of a closing out role. What did you guys think of that?
Ideally, I wouldn't have rotated against Espanyol because they're actually playing quite well this season. I backed them to go down, so naturally they've come back and spited me. But in the sense of the schedule, it was the best game we're going to have for a while to rotate. Like, we had Roma on Tuesday, and we have Sevilla on Wednesday, and then Atleti on this weekend. So it was the best game to rest players like Marcelo in that.
Wait, sorry, did you say Roma on Tuesday?
Was it Wednesday? Tuesday or Wednesday?
No, I think we played them on Wednesday. Colin said Wednesday.
I thought you meant like it's happening this Wednesday. No, that would be insane. Okay. Well, yes, Chris, I definitely agree with you on that. The Espanyol game, if you do look at September, I believe there are 6 games in this month, or 7 games, but of which 3 come in a 7-day span, which is pretty hectic. And like Chris said, 2 of those opponents are Sevilla and Atletico Madrid, which are both big games, and one's a derby, so really no opportunity to play around there. Anthony, what did you think about the rotation from Mr. Julian Lopetegui?
Well, I mean, in the back, there's not really much of a rotation that can go on besides Carvajal and Odriozola kind of fighting that right back spot out who's going to get the starting, because Nacho has to play he's got to be able to play all 4 positions in the back line, so he's really our only other option at left back, so that wasn't too much rotation. But the midfield, seeing Llorente come in and you saw Ceballos in there a little bit, it's nice to see them being integrated, because I didn't think we really lost a step. I just thought there were some decisions that could have been made better, and that comes with experience and playing more. So to experiment there against Espanyol, I thought was a decent idea, because like we said, the schedule is going to be getting tougher, and that was probably one of the easiest matches to do it in.
Hustle, I think it'd be interesting to get your take on it a little bit more, specifically the full match from what we had talked about. But if you're Lopetegui and you see that Espanyol is coming up again, I know I've said it so many times, but before the Sevilla and the Madrid derby match, you know you want to rest players for the 2 bigger games. Is there anything you would have done differently, or anyone you would have played differently, or even in the terms of a tactical formation than what Julen did in that game? Or do you think his tactics and idea was spot on?
I think I would have changed this. I would have dropped Benzema for Mariano straight off the bat. That's the only big change I would have made. I think rotating-wise was a good idea. I mean, had this game appeared last year, I think we would have struggled against it. But in the new system, I think there's more cushion for rotating and putting in players like Llorente against a side like this. Even though they've been playing well this year, Espanyol, the expected goals in this game was 1.9. We only scored the 1. So, like I said earlier, it was an efficient and effective result. Given the final 20 minutes were quite poor, but generally speaking, I think he got it all right.
Anthony had mentioned earlier 19 shots, only one ended up being a goal. That was, of course, from Marco Asensio. What the heck happened there? To have 19 shots and only score 1 goal, yeah, I know it's not like we were playing a third division team. Espanyol's known to causes problems in the past. But do you think that maybe we're missing a piece already? Does something need to be tweaked? Anyone can take it.
I'm not too sure about Espanyol. I haven't really watched much of them this season. Maybe Chris is in a better position to comment. To be honest, I'm not too sure on how they've been doing this season.
I've seen a bit, because I don't have a life. But for me, they're very good defensively. They're very compact. They're a different side to what Sanchez Flores had last season. They were so disorganized and horrific last season. Ruby really has whipped them into shape. And I thought in the first half, it was a case, very much more of a case, that Espanyol defending well than Madrid attacking badly. Second half, I don't know what exactly happened in the second half, but they just, we just did not look switched on. And there was so many, there was individual errors, and there was almost a panic in getting the second goal. And then as the game kind of wore on and Espanyol grew into it, in an attacking sense, there was a panic to hold on to the 1-0 lead. So I suppose I'd say it's a mixture of both. In the first half, Espanyol defended well, but in the second, Madrid just did not attack well.
I think we can safely say that all of us here are fans of Sergio Ramos, for sure. All admire and appreciate his game and what he does for the team. There was a lot of times that he was a bit too far forward, and one could argue that was the reason why Espanyol was able to break out on us, and it really did cause us a threat at some points. Had they made the right pass in the final third, it could have been a lot more lethal for Real Madrid. Do you guys think that there is a big issue with Ramos going too far up, or are people just reading into things?
I think it's definitely being read into. I think it's definitely being read into. I mean, whilst they were sort of, I'd say, knocking on the door, I don't think they were massively that threatening. I mean, they had 10 shots in total with 3 on target. We essentially had double that in both sectors. And they were only expected to score 0.42 of a goal in this game. So I don't think they would have been as threatening as it looked. I think it was just our team playing stupidly at times that made them look like that. So I don't think it's as bad as it seems. I mean, plus our fixture list from here on out. We got Sevilla and Atletico, obviously, in the next 2 games. After that, we got a pretty smooth ride up to El Clasico. So I don't think... I think rotating, you can expect to see more of it in the coming weeks, to be honest.
I agree with that. I think we've had Ramos since he was 19, and he has not changed in play style one bit. He's always liked... He's always slow to come back from the set piece. He likes to go forward. He has license in an attacking sense under Lopetegui that he hasn't had before. I said it to you after a podcast there. I did an article on Ramos and his kind of contribution in attack. It's pinned on my Twitter profile. And, you know, it's a clear demonstration. And, you know, we've talked about his long balls, but there's a reason why he's become so prominent in possession. That's because Lopetegui is giving him that role. So I think it's being read into a bit too much. I don't think we should worry.
Chris, sticking with you, we've talked about Sergio Ramos now. People shouldn't really read into that. You are the Lucas Vasquez propaganda. Do you think that this Espanyol game would have been a great game for him to start and feature in more?
To add to that,
when do we get to see Lucas Vasquez more? Because I feel like this year we haven't as much as we did last year. At least not yet.
No, we haven't. I think he's a very different role under Lopetegui. It's still very early days, and I feel a bit brave saying this, but I think he has a bit more of a defensive role, in the sense that when Lucas comes on, he's come on with the idea that he'll track back and clog up the flank that he's on and cover up and, you know, hold on to a lead. He doesn't, in the 2 games where I've seen him play prominently, which was Athletic Bilbao away and this game, Espanyol, which it should be noted were 2 games where Madrid didn't really attack well. He played well defensively, but when he went forward, there just was no support. There was no one up with him to cross the ball to, and he tried to dribble out of trouble in that, and that's not really his strong suit. He's much more direct winger than Bale or someone like that. So his role has changed, and it's still early days, but I think there's a clear difference between what Zidane saw of Luke. What Zidane taught Lucas Vasquez was capable of, and what Lopetegui thinks.
I know we're just 5 games into the season so far. I guess you can't really keep saying just anymore, because 5 is quite a considerable amount of football. Each one of you, who would you say is your favorite player so far, and who would you say is one person you'd like to see feature more?
Mariano is definitely the one to feature more. That's for sure. He has to feature more. Benzema seems to have been affected a little bit by his complete sort of reliance on him. So he definitely looked a bit leggy at the moment. So in the games where now post Atletico Madrid, I think we're playing teams like Leganés at home, and the weakest team in our Champions League group, I can't remember the name of, no disrespect, or maybe there is. I think, generally speaking, with the lighter fixtures coming, now's a perfect time to kind of assist them. So I think give Benzema a rest and keep him fresh for obviously the Madrid derby and El Clasico, which is only now a few weeks away. That's how I'd go about it, at least anyway.
Yeah, I'd like to see...
Anthony, would you like to go now?
Sorry?
The Mariana one was... I'm just going to agree with him right there, just so we can get that out of the way. We don't like to agree with Hassan too often.
Sorry, there's an asterisk there, ladies and gentlemen. Just to go into complete... It is not a we. Christopher and I are both on the fence. We both clearly get along. It is Hassan and Anthony who have their disputes about their own football ideologies. But anyway, Mr. Pineapple.
I was talking about America as a whole. Just can't agree with Hassan too much.
We'll see about that.
But I'm going to go in a complete different direction. And I think Toni Kroos could take a little bit less time because he seems to like be the constant in the different like midfield combinations Lopetegui has been doing. So I think we could rest him a little bit more. He seems to constantly be moving around, but he's always getting the minutes in, and he is getting up there in age, and he has slowed down a little bit. So I think some rest would do him pretty well. And I'd love to see Ceballos in more than he already is. I think him, Asensio, and Isco make a really dangerous combination. Plus the Spanish connection there is just always beautiful to see in Lope ball.
Christopher, after I've cut you off twice now, and I apologize.
That's no bother.
Who would your players be?
You know, I don't say this just because I'm a fan, but I would like to see Vasquez get a start. I'd like to see him. I honestly don't think in his role he's been that bad. I think, you know, I've seen people talk about him like he's, you know, he's doing something horrifically bad, you know, but he's done what he's been asked to do off the bench so far, and I'd like to see him start and, you know, play like he did last season or try and recapture that type of form. Players I like to see less of. I probably agree with Anthony. I think Kroos has played a lot of football. Another thing that I've posted on Twitter is a Google sheet of the minutes that players have played since, I think it's 2014. And Kroos is one of two players. The other was Ronaldo, who has over 10,000 minutes played for Madrid. He's just never out. He's never not playing. So I'd agree. I think he deserves a rest.
Well, just touching on that, like, that threatening midfield that we have, and Anthony was saying, you know, rest Kroos, and because we have other players like Dani Ceballos and Isco and Asensio. But at one point, does it come that, unfortunately, we really can't play all those players at once, or can we? Like, do they, those three alone, do they provide enough balance in attack and you know, helping out the defense? Or is it just not possible to make do without at least one of Toni Kroos, Casemiro, or Modric?
I think you're going to be bold if you're resting both of them at the same time. It just, they're such good players, and once you have that type of quality in your squad, it's very hard to replace or negate the effects that it has on your team when they're not there. So I think it's bold not to have at least one of them there.
Asen, any other last thoughts before we move on to the Sevilla match?
No, I haven't really got much else to comment, to be honest.
Not even some Dani Ceballos love, man?
I don't think any more needs to be said. He was fantastic in that game. I think everyone gave him his kudos, which I was happy with.
About time, too. I've seen a lot of hate for Dani Ceballos over the summer, and I was kind of frustrated by it. So it's nice to see him shut up the haters.
Say that, actually. I'll give a shout out to Casemiro. Casemiro was very good against Espanyol.
Oh, yeah. I'd agree with that, too.
That's probably one of his best performances for a long time.
For all the Dani Ceballos haters, I honestly don't think many of them have actually seen him really play that much.
Which makes less sense than how they can hate towards him. You haven't seen a player play, how can you hate on him? It doesn't make any sense.
Really speaking, unless you watched him play at Real Betis, you can't really make a judgment on Dani Ceballos on his last season because he didn't really play that much last season. And if you did watch him at Real Betis, you know how swell of a player he is. That's not to say that he has no flaws, but I think it would be a bit ridiculous. Let's do something a little bit weird. I know this is quite odd, but I think most of us have the FIFA best stream on right now. And they're about to announce anything. Yeah, they're about to announce it. I can just see the FIFA president and host.
I'm still waiting on that. Also, I complain that Dani Alves somehow made the team of the 11 of the world or whatever, even though he
didn't. Oh, don't even get me started on how that moron.
Oh, I don't understand it at all.
The FIFA player. Modric won it.
Luca.
Oh, wow. Thanks. I'm behind, guys. Thank you very much.
Twitter's already celebrating.
How are you behind?
Wait, hold on. Yeah. How is that? I'm way behind because my Maradona doesn't seem to be showing up at all. So I still stopped watching highlights.
Guys, it's a it's a stream online for free. By the way, the Real Champs does not condone any illegal activity, pirating of any FIFA owned copyrighted materials. So don't do what we're doing. What?
I'm on Blitz. That's how we want.
Disclaimer. I'm going to put a disclaimer in the description of this podcast. Anyway, congratulations to Luka Modric.
Just I'd say that's the first decent award we've seen.
It is. I'm very happy for him. Thoroughly. Oh, look at Zidane over there smiling. Such a gem. Oh, I miss that guy so much. Oh, man. I think my heart just cracked a little inside.
He got robbed.
He did.
Did he really? He didn't win.
My man won three UCLs. He could have coached that.
Yeah, and he doesn't get manager. Like, he got a...
Who got manager?
Didier Deschamps.
I'm not surprised, to be honest. Oh. I expected that.
Come on. We could have put Anthony to manage Team France, and France would have won that World Cup.
I want it in World Cup every time on PS4.
Oh, my God. Anyway, congrats to Luka Modric. And congrats to all of our players that made the FIFA Best 11. Stay tuned to the Real Champs for some content on that. But back to the podcast now. Okay, Christopher will have a hot take, so you better listen to.
I think I should have won the FIFA Best Manager because I won the double with Real Sociedad in FIFA, and I won the treble with Valencia in FIFA.
You won a treble with Valencia?
Yeah, Valencia won the treble. I think I should have won the best manager. I think that's I think those are quite astounding achievements, and I did it on Legendary as well.
Hashtag cop for Chris.
Yeah, what do you put? What console do you play on?
Xbox. yeah.
Rubbish. Garbage.
Console argument for children, boys.
Well, whatever. Get out of here.
Don't be a fanboy. Stop being a 12-year-old.
I'm not going to get started with you. Fight anyway, me. On to the Sevilla game. We've looked at our Espanyol game. I think we can safely say our key takeaways are a good game. Last 20 minutes were hell. Need to tighten up the defense, maybe the midfield a bit better. But all in all, bright performances for many people. We'd all like to see, I think, Hassan, even though you didn't speak to it, I can agree to it. Toni Kroos play a little bit less. Definitely takes a toll on the German. And please, for the love of God, Julian Lopetegui, if you listen to this podcast for some weird reason,
don't listen to it because
please
play
Mariano Diaz. Please play Mariano a lot more, especially for games like this. But anyways, for the fourth time now, moving on to the Sevilla match, which is happening this Wednesday. It is the La Liga match. It's a La Liga fixture. It'll be the sixth game of just looking at Sevilla right now. Actually, let's look at us first. So we're in second place. We are tied on points with Barcelona. Barca gets the tiebreak because they have four more goals than us. I think it was after that, like 8-2.
I thought they had two more goals than us. In goal,
they have what? Sorry. Say that again.
Isn't the goal differential only two?
Oh, sorry, yes. The goal differential is two, but the goals four is four, a difference of four. Anthony's correct. The goal difference is two. I apologize.
Yeah.
Anyway, our opponent coming up this Wednesday is Sevilla. They've also played 5 matches. They've won 2, drawn 1, and lost 2. They have 10 goals for, 6 against. Of course, a goal difference of 4. But they sit in 7th with 7 points. So, with all that, even though they're in 7th place, definitely not a team to underestimate by any means. What is the key thing to look out for against the Sevilla side come Wednesday?
Just their attack. There's nothing else to them, to be honest.
That's good. Good to know. All right. This podcast is done. That's it. Just watch it for the
day. It's true. Look at their form.
I just love how
blunt. There's nothing else to them. Their defense is shocking. It is shocking. Literally shocking. If you look at their run so far, by the Levante game, they've not been that great this season whatsoever.
No, they haven't. He's right. I mean, up until they bet Standard Liège 5-1 in the Europa League on Thursday and they bet Levante 6-2 this weekend. But up until that, they hadn't scored since the opening day. And
they scored
defensively,
four
they just... Yeah, they scored 4 on the opening day, but they didn't score after that. And that was against Rayo
Vallecano. It was Rayo Vallecano who were also dreadful.
They lost 5-1 to Alaves too, who I can't say have not been prolific in front of goal. And Rayo just... I'll say Rayo, you know, once you get managed by Paco Gemes, it's hard to shake the Paco Gemes out of your team.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, I don't think they've been that impressive under Pablo Mancini so far. Having said that, they're coming into form typically for Madrid visiting. We haven't won there. We've won there once in the last 5 seasons. That was 2014-15, and it was a Ronaldo hat-trick. Ramos regularly does crazy stuff in Sevilla, and after watching that game against Espanyol, buckle up. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a wild one. I see where Chris is going with that Sergio Ramos comment. Because the way he was flying forward against Espanyol, he surely will be looking for a bit of vengeance. I wouldn't say there's a bit of bad blood. Yeah, there's no bad blood there, but the water is definitely not crystal clear for Ramos there. Anyway, Anthony, what do you think of this Sevilla match? Anything you're concerned about?
Well, I mean, if we start Marcelo and Ramos, which we most likely will, we're going to be seeing a lot of counterattacking, and granted their defense is weak, but if they're able to take advantage of the counterattack in the space that we leave in there, this is going to be a really high scoring game. And the only thing I'm really worried about is if Courtois and his horrible foot skills can really keep up with it.
Really? You think he has horrible footwork?
That's a very good point. I'd love to see Navas start this one.
His distribution is very questionable. Yeah. It always has been, though.
Okay.
Ever since his days at Chelsea, I've always said he just shit distributes with the ball.
I think I've been watching the wrong football. I apologize.
I'd like to know where you've seen him good with the ball at his feet. I don't think I've ever seen him be decent with the ball at his feet.
I thought, like, in my humble opinion, which is why I host and I don't comment, because, again, my opinion is very humble, I actually thought he was relatively decent. I'd give him, like, a 7 out of 10, but... No shade. You guys genuinely would know better.
I think we saw against Espanyol that he booted about 3 or 4 balls out over the touchline under pressure. And then the other ones that he booted long, Isco and the wingers were struggling to keep them in from going out from throw-ins. So I do think his footwork needs work. But it should be noted that Navas was not a great distributor under Zidane, and look how he's turned out. So maybe it just he needs a bit of time.
Just needs a bit of time. Can we all together actually agree on a strong starting 11 for this match? I think we know who the back four is. I think all of us are in agreement. Keylor Navas should get the start. In midfield, are we going with a typical
Casemiro
and Modric? Yep. Okay. Yeah, Hassan was very emphatic about that. So it jumped down my throat. In attack, then. Bale, for sure. Asensio or Isco?
Isco.
No, I'd say Asensio.
Isco.
As good as Isco was against Espanyol.
Anthony just whispers.
I think we'd be better off starting Asensio out wide and bring Isco into the midfield later in the game.
So, yeah. I'd rather do vice versa because Asensio has been gunning lately. I feel like he's been kind of like trying to show his worth and get his goals up. You know what I mean?
But doesn't that make him more dangerous, the fact that he's willing to get into those areas?
Yeah, it does.
He wouldn't even want to be a player in
that. Late and do that while Isco, you already know Isco can do pretty much anything on the field offensively. But to bring in Asensio on tired legs, I think is super dangerous.
Depends if you deem on tired legs. I don't think he looks very tired.
No, I mean the other team's tired legs. Asensio coming in fresh off the bench.
Oh, sorry, I understand you now. Yeah, my bad. Yeah, to be fair, if you look at it that way, yeah, I could see your logic behind that. I don't know. It depends on how Sevilla come at us, to be honest. If Sevilla decide to just try and contain the possession style, then Isco suits it in terms of breaking the lines. If they're playing the pressing game, which they typically do, I think Asensio on the counter is more dangerous than Isco on the counter.
That's true.
A final position, last
Mariano Diaz is a no-brainer. Such a no-brainer.
Okay. I don't even know why I talk. Hudson just knows exactly what I'm going to say.
It's just such a no-brainer at this point in time. Benzema's mobility is a problem sometimes. He sometimes just looks to be too intricate and too cute, and sometimes you just need someone to come in and kick the fucking door down. And that's exactly what Mariano is. He just comes in and he kicks the door down and says, motherfucker, here I am.
I don't think he should. I think Benzema should start.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I think we need someone that...
Ooh, it's a beast.
It is a beast. No, I think the only reason we should start Mariano is because they're going to push quite hard, Sevilla. That's just what they do. I think Mariano's work rate, pressing, and just continual running is going to run them out and find better opportunities on the counter. Plus, the idea of Asensio bailing Mariano on the counter is just disgusting.
It's a load of pace.
That's
right
a wet dream.
Well, right I wouldn't be disappointed if Mariano starts. My main point of concern is that this Seville crowd is very, very, very tough. I mean, Ramos can speak for that. They've gotten under his skin so much so that he goes out to piss them off every time he plays them. And they're going to have it in for Mariano because he did turn his back on them to an extent when he moved to Madrid this summer
really
because
cared.
They were a team that activated the clause that got him to Madrid.
I think the opposite effect's going to happen. Kind of like him taking the number 7 jersey, it's going
to
be that little...
That's exactly what I was going to say, yeah. If he's got the balls...
I wrote an article about that, by the way.
Cheap plug, disgusting.
Cheap plug, yeah. Well,
shameless plug.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
You guys are just chatting away. I have to say something too.
That's so distasteful, Mustak. You're literally just... You're the team's version of Jake Paul. You are Jake Paul.
Yeah, I don't... Like I said, I don't think...
I think he's upset that I called him Jake Paul.
Yeah, I'm cross with you. No, but it's fine.
I could have called you Jake Paul. That's worse.
Hassan, piss off. I think having Mariano Diaz starting would be really awesome. Like Hassan said, he's got the work rate, and he's just like all hustle, a load of grit, like just grind
plus,
it out.
That's beautiful.
I don't think I've ever seen him tired.
No, I've watched him when he came on against Roman. The fact he just literally came on just 0-100 straight away. Wasn't he like I'm just going to jog myself into this game. It was literally, he came on to feel belting across to the ball, the defensive line to put under pressure. It's like, you know what? I like this guy.
Yeah, that's an absolute menace. That goal, wow. I don't even know what to say.
That's
about
another
that.
Thing when you mentioned the pressure about obviously the severe crowd. To come on in a Champions League game, okay, I know it's a group stage game, but still, it's a Champions League game, one of the biggest clubs in the world, if not the biggest club in the world. To come on and do that.
Yeah, what a fabulous goal.
You've just taken the most legendary number in the club's history. This is your official debut, and you come on and you do that. That takes balls.
Yeah, and all the questions that he'd been facing up until that point, and he just whips it from outside the box into the top corner like that. It was the cojones. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. It was just a brilliant goal. Brilliant moment.
It's everything you'd want from
He has a very different striking form if you look at it. It's quite interesting.
Raul waited for him in the locker room after the game, also shook his hand.
Yeah, I saw that in the video.
That's cool. Imagine that.
Imagine, like, walking in to the dressing room and Raul's there to congratulate you. Like, Raul, it's not just anybody. Like, that's insane.
He must be on cloud nine. He's probably still partying over.
I would be. I'd be watching that thing every night before I go to bed.
Yeah, so would I.
Just would have washed that hand again, the still one that you shook.
Anyway, let's jump into some Twitter questions. I think we kind of have our starting 11 for the Sevilla match kind of underway. As Sasan said, just the attack. They have no defense, apparently. So we don't have to worry about that. Sorry, real quick, just touching on the defense, might I add, Real Madrid have been doing really well. Like, I know Christopher said it earlier, but there's only one other team in the league that has conceded 3 goals, and that's Villarreal, who are in 13th place. Everyone else has 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 13. Poor Huesca. Like, that must suck.
Yeah, that but was anyway. 13.
13.
On to our Twitter questions. One of our contributors, I will drop her question on Twitter in the response. She asks, views on Lopball so far, hashtag Lopball. Do we lack attacking firepower? I guess I kind of touched on that earlier. Not really. I guess I said we have too much. What do you guys think? Do we lack attacking firepower?
I don't think so. I think if you look at the expected goals ratio that we've got this season, we're pretty much performing as to expect if you look at it on a game-by-game ratio. I think the only place we're underperforming is from open play, and that's not by much. If you look at it from set plays and set pieces and stuff like that, we're overperforming in that sense. So I don't think it's really taken away from the firepower. In terms of views on the actual thing itself, I think it's absolutely fantastic. For the larger parts of the game against Espanyol, the ball play was just ridiculous. It was so smooth. Everything was all in system. Everything was consistent. Pressing was consistent. It's the best pressing I've seen probably since Mourinho days, to be honest, the pressing there. It's the best pressing. I don't think Zidane really had a pressing system, so I'm a fan of low ball, as they called it.
Anthony, Chris, any opinion on the question? Do we lack any attacking firepower? Or do we lack an attacking firepower?
I love the way I've turned Hassan to stats. It seems since I started quoting them, he's coming right back at me. I'm loving it. I agree, yeah. I'm loving this new system. The defense, I think, is the improvement in defense so far is had a part is because of the football we're playing, like a decent pressing system, holding on to the ball rather than silly giveaways. The whole back line switched on. I think, you know, you really cannot have that many complaints about how we started this season.
You really can't. It's been quite incredible, actually. Many would say they're quite surprised with how Real Madrid has started this season thus far. Unfortunately, people didn't have as high hopes. Even fans didn't have as high hopes. It's kind of weird. Like, believe in your team. What's wrong with you? Anyway, Anthony, do you have any comments on the question?
I feel like people are just trying to figure out how we're going to get the goals without Ronaldo there. And that's, like, kind of the thing people keep going back to, because we didn't sign a Galactico. We didn't spend over $100 million to fill Ronaldo's shoes. We kind of just made a new system without him. So I think people just bring firepower back to how we are missing Ronaldo now, and you got Mariano Diaz in the number 7 jersey.
Our next question is from – I honestly don't. You guys have covered everything. Tapiwa Musa at the Only Taps. Tapiwa, can you explain what that app means? Because I honestly don't know what the Only Taps means. I feel like it's maybe like some jargon or like terminology used from where you're from. But like, I'm curious. Anyway. This person asks, what are your expectations for Gonzalo Guedes this season?
Gonzalo Guedes.
Are you correcting me?
I'm expecting him to do well. I think just he's not quite hit the levels yet because Valencia as a whole is just underperforming. But once he gets some form going, he's going to be a very impressive player. He's got a huge potential. He's versatile. I'm kind of upset we didn't sign him considering how cheap he was. But once he really hits the ground running, he's going to be a delightful player to watch.
Anyone else have any thoughts on him? I personally don't. I haven't watched the kid play.
If Marcelino, as Hassan would say, get his shit together, he'll be very good. And if Marcelino can't get his shit together, then they should sack him sooner rather than later.
That'll
because if they
happen.
Can get Wede's play.
Probably happen.
Yeah, I have a feeling he's not going to last much longer.
In January, he's going to be gone. January, he'll be gone.
He could be gone even earlier.
Yeah, I'm trying to be kind.
Just don't stick around. They fire managers as much as we
use. The same club that
appointed
Gary Neville as their manager, just for those out there who are curious as to why we're shitting on Valencia's stability. It's because they've got an absolute moron at the top of their club. Simple as that, really.
Yeah. I expect him to have a good... It depends. Like, if Valencia get themselves sorted, he'll have a very good season. If they don't, he won't. He's a very talented player. I don't think there's any doubt about that, though.
Well, moving on into getting their shit together, Alep Trivedi, who's also one of our followers and contributors, asks, I think it would be better for all of Castilla if Vinicius played with them and gets them promoted to a higher tier. What are your views? Chris, I know you have a lot of knowledge about the Castilla side. What do you think?
I've watched a lot of their games this season. I watched a few last season. If only it were that easy. I think we need to keep in mind that Castilla are playing in a professional division. They are a youth side playing in a professional division. Not just a professional division, but the hardest division in Spain. We've seen La Liga sides go down to the third division of Spanish football and they're never seen again. It is a rough, it's just a hard tackling, direct, physical league. You can go away to some grounds and they're playing on AstroTurf. It is an ugly division and it is not easy to play in for even the most experienced of players. So I don't think Vinicius alone is going to get Castilla promoted. And aside from that, I don't think Solari is capable of doing it, even
Solari,
with Vinicius.
I hate to use the term here, but he's a heap of shit. Don't know
it's
how
a tragedy of a manager, that's all right. Yeah.
I don't understand how he's still the manager of that side. He's so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, especially...
And we let Guti go there.
Exactly, we let Guti go. Where is it? Has he gone to Fenerbahce or somewhere? Or Besiktas? Yeah, okay.
Turkey.
I don't understand. He's not even gone to manage the club as the actual manager, has he? He's gone to be an assistant, I think.
He's assistant manager. Yeah, it's good experience for him, but still, he'd have been a brilliant hire for the Castilla side because so many of his Juvenile A players from that treble winning season
are now
the backbone of the Castilla side. Yeah, they're massive part. They're the best performers in some parts for the Castilla side, so it doesn't make sense.
Guys, when are we getting on the board of directors at Real Madrid? Seriously, we just need to run the show.
They had a committee meeting the other day. Why the hell wasn't this on the damn agenda? Hello?
Oh. Anyway, I was going to say something. Now I forgot. I guess it wasn't that important. Now I remember. Speaking of Vinicius, apparently, he really was in the squad list for the game against Espanyol. Of course, he didn't feature. I guess it was a bit of a dicey one because those last 20 minutes were a bit iffy for Real Madrid. In you guys' humble opinion, when do you think we will see Vinicius play first-team football?
I think he should be playing first-team football. He should be definitely in that side by now. In fact, he hasn't got a single minute yet. It's quite embarrassing. During the amount we forked out on it.
Of the five games, six games we've played this season so far, which
Espanyol.
Game would you have had him featured?
I think he easily could have played against Espanyol. That could definitely have worked. Considering we've not played like any top, really top sides as of yet in the league, besides maybe Bilbao, he could easily have slotted in against Getafe or something like that, even if it was only for 10 minutes. You know, if we're winning a game, it'd make more sense to bring him on against tired legs, where he can be effective. I just don't understand how he hasn't got at least even 5 minutes yet. But I trust Lopetegui. Lopetegui is a very good player, very good manager when it's developing youth. So who knows? I have faith.
Who knows? Exactly. That's all you got to do. Be positive. Have faith. Anyways, we've wrapped up the questions. We've talked about Espanyol. We've looked into the match against Sevilla. Any last thoughts, gentlemen, or comments? Propaganda, maybe.
Barcelona fans need to stop crying about the decision on Longley. VAR's here for a reason. Stop whining.
Stop whining. Okay. Apart from stop whining.
I just think Lucas Vasquez should start more.
I agree.
Madrid's beating Sevilla 4-2. You heard it here first.
Yeah, no.
Oh, that's a good idea. Score predictions. Anthony says 4-2. Hassan, Chris, okay. What do you think?
I think we're going to pipe Sevilla quite badly. I think I'm gonna go 3-0.
Oh, when you said quite badly, I thought you meant like 6 or 7.
No, piping is anything of 3-0 or above for me.
Chris, what do you think?
I'm going for a 3-2. And Ramos is going to either score or get sent off.
There's two very different sides of a match. Scoring and getting sent off. Any player scoring prediction?
Sergio Ramos, penalty kick goal. He's Paneca.
Another Paneca
again.
I'm going to go Bale brace in the center with the single.
Fair. I don't know. I'm not going to comment. I just hope we win. To me, that's all that matters at the end of the day. 3 points. Hopefully, Asensio scores another screamer because you can always watch those on replay, and it's just as magical. Anyways, thank you, podcast listeners, for listening to another podcast, sharing the Real Madrid passion with us. We hope you enjoy the rest of your day, night, bike ride, train ride. I don't know if you're eating cereal or something. I hope you enjoy it.
Walking the dog, walking the cat.
Yeah. You're walking the dog or the cat. Apparently, people in England walk their cats.
You know someone walk a cat?
I don't know what happens.
You know someone walk a cat? It happens, man. What?
Anyway, things on the other side of the Atlantic are very different. Irregardless, podcast listeners, I hope you enjoyed this one. Please hit us up on Twitter at TheRealChanceFS. Let us know what you think. Of course, we're doing, we're covering every game, live tweeting. Hassan and I is a big game this week, as well as the Atletico game. We might even do a Periscope, so look out for that. We'd like to hear what you guys think about what's going on. As always, Hala Madrid.